the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brandt's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
So we've been talking about different chapters in Blessed Are the Misfits, and one I wanted to talk about was Blessed Are the People Who Do Church Anyway. And this is a tough one if you've grown up or you've been burned by church settings. And I wanted to tell people why you can't just go, I'm not going to be part of this.
I think that's where a lot of people are.
Oh, I know.
They say that's where a lot of millennials are. We're not millennials, but I've had kids who are in my youth group, used to be in my youth group. That's where they are.
Okay, totally.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of people that the first thing they do when they hear that is blame them.
Yes, that's true.
It's like, well, that's because
you're exactly
entitled
right.
And you this
yeah,
and
yeah,
you that.
Yeah.
Well, there's a whole lot of us that it just doesn't compute.
Mm-hmm.
The American church culture just doesn't, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I look at what Jesus said and I'm like, does it have to be this expensive? Discipleship? Does it, all of this? Like, just yeah. Make this, like, so that's one-on-one apprenticeship. Let me show you what it means to follow Jesus. Like,
mm-hmm.
Is this really the way to do
it? I think we've talked about it before. Just our overall uneasiness with some of it. Not trying to impugn it necessarily, but just saying.
No.
It's
not.
Yeah.
But if you love something, you care about how it's treated.
Yes.
And I think the more I've grown to love Jesus, the more I've grown to love the church.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you don't. I actually think it heightens your sensitivity to it, the church being besmirched or
yeah.
made to look stupid or turned into a cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't I call that out? And I don't like the argument that, well, it's the bride of Christ, therefore you can't ask these questions, you can't be critical. Like, no, no, no. It's because it's the bride of Christ, I want to be critical of the stuff that people are trying to do to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
this
is a beautiful, like embassy of the kingdom of God on earth. That's what we're supposed to be. We're his ambassadors. Like, and you can't just dress it up in anything. You go, oh, can't criticize it.
Yeah.
Jesus wouldn't criticize the church. Yes, he does criticize it. In Revelation 2, he does.
A lot.
Always,
he said way more than I did.
We're always kind of struck by that, too. It's kind of like, well, he would never. Well, he did.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, my actual thing is, okay, so why do we actually need it? Because that's people wonder about, like, why can't I do this on my own?
Mm-hmm.
And I try to answer that question in this because, again, I'm writing to misfits and people that don't fit in easily. Maybe they're guys who don't play guitar, sing, or preach and wonder, like, what is this? Why do I have to go watch this?
That's a great question.
And I don't have a good answer for that.
Okay.
But I do have an answer for why you need community.
Okay.
Because the church is supposed to be a family.
Mm-hmm.
It's described as a family. It's described as God's household. It's his house. It's described as the bride of Christ.
Well, that's what makes it difficult, because then when it starts feeling like theater,
you don't understand the connection.
I don't.
Yeah.
And because I love theater, it puts me in a different frame of mind. I start to critique it, quite frankly.
Yeah, something's on a stage in front of us and we're watching it.
Yeah, then I start going a different way with it. So anyway, yeah.
But if it's community, if it's family,
mm-hmm.
you need it. And some of the reasons I list, I won't go into all of them, but one thing is I need Christian community because my ability, and this is true of everybody, not just me, but my ability to justify myself is a force of nature. It's nearly unstoppable. What I mean by that, anything I want, I can justify it.
Yeah.
Any desire I have, whether it's rightly ordered, whether it's completely selfish, whether it's whatever it is, doesn't matter. I can figure out a way why it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm doing is fine. People have justified everything. The worst tortures in the world have been theologically justified.
Yeah, there's nobody who has said, you know what? Basically, I'm just evil. I'm a horrible, horrible person, and
true.
I'm doing horrible, horrible things. Like, nobody has ever
right.
said that. There's always a reason why it's okay.
I clipped this article from the guys who were in charge of Cambodia when they were they killed 2 million people.
Mm.
And they were saying, well, don't judge us.
Right.
And this was like in the late 90s. They had
mm-hmm.
this press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't judge you.
Right.
You killed 2 million people. Yeah, but you know, when you step back and you're really like, no, that was wrong.
Right.
But their ability in their mind, I bet they could take it a test, mm-hmm. a lie detector test, and pass it.
Mm-hmm.
We meant well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. That's the same thing of every horrifying thing that's ever happened in history. The people who are perpetuating it had a justification.
Yeah.
Ivan the Terrible, I read his biography. He was so theologically astute. He would go town to town and throw people off cliffs, his own people, women, children, and then shoot them and then hang them. And then, like, everything that can be done to a human body, mm-hmm. he had it done to people. And he was the most astute theological leader you've ever seen. He was debating with the Pauline epistles and what this said and that mm-hmm. said. At the same time, he's having all that done.
Yeah.
Our ability to justify. So if you're not in community, that just runs unchecked.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have wise people around you who can call you on stuff, that just runs rampant.
Yeah, you become right.
About everything.
That's what one of my kids said. Well, I'm not going anywhere. And I said, you don't have to go, but here's what I predict. You will be right all the time. Your
That's
interpretation
exactly right.
of scripture is going to be right. Your viewpoint is
right.
going to be right. Everything's going to be right all the time.
Yeah.
There's no one there to tell you you're wrong.
Uh-huh. And which ultimately is like, that's what humans want, but mm-hmm. it kills us.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect prediction. You're going to be right. You can yeah. walk away and boy.
You're just going to be so right.
You'll just get more and more wise in your own eyes. That is so true. And you remember how, like there's so many examples in the Bible, but one is David who justifies it,
mm-hmm.
but he finds a woman. He's got all the women he wants. He finds
yeah.
another woman and he has her husband killed and he mm-hmm. gets her pregnant and all that sort of stuff. And he had to have a friend
mm-hmm.
confront him with a story.
Yeah.
And then he's repentant.
Mm-hmm.
But man, he needed that friend.
Yeah.
If you break off with people who are wise, who know God, who love mm-hmm. God, nobody's going to be able to do that to
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And the beauty of being in community like that is, you know, I've heard people say, well, I have this person or that person. You know, it's the people that you don't necessarily handpick. Because there have been times that within a church culture, there's someone who has confronted me that I don't like the person.
That's true.
But what I had to be honest and say, but what they're saying is absolutely right.
Okay, now think about this, because this is what you're saying is so brilliant, Sherry. Like, if it were any other kind of community where you just handpick your friends, I get together with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
That's not exactly what we're talking about here.
Right.
Because you're talking about where it's a community where you're sticking it out for unity's sake.
Yes.
For unity's sake, for Jesus' sake, you're staying together with people
mm-hmm.
who you aren't friends with.
Yeah.
That's how family works.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, they get to speak into your life
right.
and you get to know them.
Yep.
For good or ill.
Mm-hmm.
But they get to use their gifts as well.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets to play.
Yep. And it irritates me.
Yep.
And I go home and I have to say, you know what? No, that was right. And yeah, it's not a handpicked friend. It's someone that we're in this community together, like you said, for good or for ill.
Yeah. And if it's handpicked friends, those tend to be the people who affirm.
Yes.
So that's not good enough. Just say, here's somebody who's always going to affirm me. I meet with that person.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about intentional community for the sake of Christ.
Yeah.
Not for the sake of because it's fun to get together.
Mm-hmm.
Although that's great if it's fun. I mean,
yeah.
it's great. But there's something about this intentional getting together with people you normally wouldn't
mm-hmm.
for the sake of Christ that is beautiful. Here's another thing. It's closely related. I wrote down.
Mm-hmm.
I need Christian community because wisdom spares me from suffering.
Mm.
There's a proverb that says, spend time with the wise and you'll become wise, but the friends of fools will suffer. I need to be around people who will do what you were talking about,
mm-hmm.
who will speak into my life. I've had people do that. I use an example in the book of some friends who early on in our marriage were able to tell me, you come across this way and it's not all right. The way mm-hmm. you talk to your wife, it's too stern. You come across too this way. You're not gentle enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to hear that. Obviously it stuck with me.
Yeah.
26 years later, I'm going, it's on my mind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be gentle
mm-hmm.
husband. I needed that. That's because we were in community. Somebody was able to even know me that well.
That's good.
Yeah.
And then that goes back to the critique of part of American church culture is, does anyone really know me?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I just showing up at this place
right.
with everyone sitting, listening to this thing, and then we all go home and no one actually knows me.
No, if it's sitting, if the essence of church is sitting, listening to a thing, or passively being at a thing, or observing a thing, or even standing up and singing at a big Fitz theater setting, if that's it, none of this makes much sense.
Yeah.
So there's got to be more. And I think this is what, this is why you need Christian community.
It's I mean, obviously it's understating saying it's the genius of Jesus of
yes.
making a body so that, sure, can my body do without my arm? Yes, but it's gonna be impaired, right? Can an arm do without a body? Like, can an arm just be sitting over somewhere and not be attached to the body? No.
No.
So you do need to, the way he made this so that we need each other.
Absolutely. And in fact, that's another reason I have on here why you need Christian community, so that you can do your thing.
Yeah.
So you've been given gifts. Everybody's been given gifts. People need you.
Yeah.
So for you to say, well, I do just fine without, you're forgetting half the equation
mm-hmm.
or more, which is you serving other people.
Yeah.
Again, does it make sense in a theater setting? Not so much.
Mm-hmm.
But in actual community, your ability to be hospitable, to mm-hmm. make people feel welcome, to care about other people, to pray for people, or your ability to bring in people and talk to them about Christ, your ability to teach, everybody's got different gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And when we pool them together, beautiful things happen.
That's how he built it.
Totally.
It's genius. That's how he built it. It is not totally. It's not a spectator sport, and it's not something you do on your own. He built it so that we would need each other and couldn't do it alone.
And there's 59, I think, one another's in the New Testament, like love one another, admonish one another, teach one another, on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
One another. How are you going to do that out absent Christian community? You
yeah.
can't.
You said that one time. We were in California, and it was much easier when you grow up in church culture and your family's like the all the pastors and the worship leaders and all that. You go to church because you have to. I went to church because I had to for a lot of years.
Right.
Just because that's where you're expected to show up. You're expected to do the thing, even if you're not even if you're back in a backslidden condition, which I was for a lot of the time. I was still there doing all the stuff because that's what we did. Once you leave, then you're really confronted with, do I believe this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Do I believe it in at the core? Because no one is there waiting to, where's Sherry today? And I remember you saying, where else do we want another? And me thinking, as flawed as whatever I think, quote unquote, church culture is, where else am I going to want another?
Right.
Where else is this iron going to get sharpened?
Right.
There's no other iron around. I have to be there.
Right.
This is the model. This is the thing. I got to be there. And I've been blessed and irritated and agitated and all the other things that come along with being
well,
with humans.
Well, that's iron sharpening iron. It sparks.
Yes. Yeah.
You rub iron together, you're going to get sparks. It's such a great image because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And in the process, God is changing us, using each other to do it. And to be sure, like when they talked about when Paul's given instructions for worship, like when you gather together,
mm-hmm.
when you gather together, you each bring something
mm-hmm.
to the group, and it's to build each other up. That's why we get together. That's
yeah.
the intentional community. You get together intentionally to use whatever you have to build other people up.
Mm-hmm.
That means you play too.
Yeah.
You don't just watch.
Right.
You play too. Well, we need you. You've got gifts. And to just go, well, I can do it myself. Well, thanks. Because we're building a house over here.
Yeah.
And you're over there going, well, I can do it. Like, no, no, no. We're,
and
we
whether
need
you're
you.
An introvert or someone who may not be socially, you know, skilled or whatever, you're still needed. It's not like all the extrovert people who are all outgoing, those are the ones needed, and you're not. We need you too.
Totally. And
we're
people need to see how you relate to God. I've seen this in my own life. Like
mm-hmm.
people, for whatever reason, I think my thoughts are like worth a nickel.
Mm-hmm.
But to other people, they haven't thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't thought about that. Oh, cool. I guess I'm glad that we talked.
Yeah.
And I benefited from your angle and your experience with God.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps us each in our relationship with God to see how other people relate to him.
What was the story you talked about was it C.S. Lewis and
yeah.
Tolkien and who else was sitting at the...
Charles Williams.
Yeah.
And Charles Williams was in the Inklings and he passed away and J.R.R. Tolkien and Lewis were good friends. And Lewis said, well, I could be happy at least that I get more time with Ronald. That's what they call J.R.R. Tolkien.
Mm-hmm.
So Ronald and I get to hang out more, I guess. But I'm not happy because I get less of Ronald because Charles died.
Hmm.
Because there's something about Charles that brought Ronald out in this particular way, and I won't get to see that again.
Yeah.
And his point is that just that with our respect to God, we all get to see how each other relates,
mm-hmm.
and we pick up from that, oh, okay, I got it. Same thing happens not just with God, but how to relate to other people. When I'm in somebody else's kitchen or they're in my kitchen, that opens up a whole new vulnerability.
Yeah.
About our families, our inner lives, our domestic lives, our thoughts, our patterns. Like, hey, man, I don't understand why you got the TV on all the time with your two kids here. I don't understand
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would never happen. That's a tough conversation.
Yeah.
But it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Young dad needs to hear that. Like, hey, you need to think about that. And that doesn't happen unless we're in each other's lives.
That's true.
So here's another one. I need Christian community because I need to confess to people.
Oof.
This gets back to the justification thing. We are justifying machines. We will justify anything. It's almost unstoppable. And I say almost because confession actually stops it.
Yeah.
The habit of telling somebody what you're ashamed of or what you're struggling with, what you're caught up in, hearing yourself say it, having someone remind you that God still loves you, hearing them say, you know what, me too. I struggle with this too, or I used to struggle with this. And just the weight, you cannot get that outside of Christian community.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to get it? You know, people are dying for confession too. They're out there. There's a million websites. It's like confess your deepest, darkest, mm-hmm. and people will just list the most horrifying or things they've been through or done to others. Like you're made to get it out. That's just, we're made for justification, but it's Jesus's justification we're made for.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we try to do it without him and justify ourselves.
And then we end up in shame.
Right. And there's ways of confession we do that are wrong instead of the right way to confess, which is get it out there and act like we're proud of it on Facebook or something,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
make people say, yeah, good job. Like, we all want to confess. But there's a healthy way to do this in the context of Christian community. It says to confess your sins to one another.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's because it's good for everybody involved.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Good for us. You can't do that without Christian community. And maybe that's the last one I had on the list here.
That's good stuff.
One more. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Lastly, I said I need Christian community because I need people not to break up with. There's an old song. It's like, breaking up is hard to do. Breaking up is hard to do. I'm like, there's one thing harder than breaking up, and that's not breaking up.
Yeah.
Because everything tends towards entropy and despair and ultimate dissolution.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking up is what happens unless there's a supernatural something.
Yeah.
So to be able to go through somebody being really frustrated with me, but they will not let me go because I'm their brother,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty awesome.
And it's very important to note that Jesus said, that's going to be the identifying characteristic
totally.
Of his disciples.
Right.
And I think because we, on some level, have decided not to do that, we've made a bunch of other characteristics of this is what a disciple, or this is what a follower of Jesus, or this is what...
Oh, you're right.
We've made up all this stuff because the thing that he said, we've decided not to do.
Like, no, it's Christian t-shirts.
No.
No, it's not.
You didn't say that.
No,
yeah.
It's attendance at concerts. No, it's
no,
not.
It's not.
New.
It's this political standard.
No, it's not. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
We want to make it everything but there's something so beautiful about that. Like, if somebody doesn't shove me to the curb, and I've had this happen. I was just talking with a friend about this the other day. One group I was in, we're playing flag football. I know this sounds so dumb. I know this sounds so petty and so stupid, but you got to understand this is relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody can take a turn. We can all sound stupid.
But
the guys wanted to play football. I wanted my son to play. So we went out and played flag football. I'm not the best at sports.
Mm-hmm.
But one guy came up to tackle me. And he did tackle me, even though it was flag football.
Flag football, and he tackled you.
And he gets up, and he's like, how's it feel now? And this is a friend of mine. He's my age.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, dude, this is too weird. I got to leave.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
That's just too—what was that?
How like, does
we get our egos wrapped up? As like, what are we? What are we playing in the SEC? I mean, what is this?
Why are we doing this? Had you tackled him?
No.
Oh.
No.
That's weird.
Okay.
Okay.
Really weird. Mm-hmm. Really odd to me. I just like, no, I'm done. And other guys like, come on, Brant, you know, don't walk off. Like, no, seriously, I can't. This is too weird. Mm-hmm. We get our egos involved. I'm out. Mm-hmm. And I got in my car and drove off. Mm-hmm. So this guy who did that calls me. Mm-hmm. And we were on the phone for about 3 hours.
Whoa.
And this was right after the game, mm-hmm. right after he got done. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to work through it.
Wow.
And he apologized for what he could. I said some things on the phone I shouldn't have. I remember even calling him out because I said, well, your son acts this way. His son was like 16. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, now you're calling my family into it. And he's a good Southern man. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, now you're calling my, like he was getting really mad. Mm-hmm. But he would not get off the phone until we worked it out. I said wrong things. He said wrong things. But that guy was so determined that, Brant, we are going to work this out. Mm-hmm. And I apologized, mm-hmm. but we weren't getting off the phone until it was done. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really awesome.
That is.
I know it's silly. I know it's relational stuff. But
it's not silly because everyone else, like you said, everything pulls us apart.
Right.
If the world can look and see two people who stick together
right.
because of Christ, that is a testimony.
Right.
And who he is.
If there was no Jesus, there's no phone call.
No.
We're done.
Right.
We're done. And that's how every relationship ends. Mm-hmm. As it is, I have immense respect for him as a man mm-hmm. because of that.
Yeah.
Because he was so determined because of Christ. He knew the implication because of Jesus, even though he's got, you know, his pride and I've mm-hmm. got my pride. Mm-hmm. But that can't be the final word. And I just... There's something about that. There's something about not breaking up.
And outside of Christian community, where do you get that?
Where do you get that? It's a miracle when it happens.
Yeah.
Again, entropy is things always dissolving. Mm-hmm. It's the second law of thermodynamics in a closed system. Entropy is always increasing. Things break apart. Things erode. Things dissolve. But not this thing. Mm-hmm. Not this thing. And that alone. And it says in Colossians, I think all things are held together by Christ. Mm-hmm. Like, there you go. Here's a guy that normally we wouldn't be friends, and we're brothers. We're better than friends to this day. Mm-hmm. So you need that. You cannot do this on your own. It's just by definition. I think when you take a step back from the things we're talking about here, you realize how really oddly ridiculous it is to even talk about doing this by yourself.
Yeah.
How? Makes no sense. Doesn't compute. Just does. It's like, I'm going to play tennis by myself. No, you're not. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Not really. You're just going to hit a ball against a wall. You can't play competitively against you. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's new book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.